let's have a think together, shall we, before we come to communion, about Advent. I said it's the beginning of the church's year. And Advent is a time for doing some important things. Advent is a time in the run-up to Christmas for waiting. Hands up if you like waiting. Joe, you do. Jamie, well done. Hands up if you don't like waiting. But you know, waiting is really important. Waiting is really important because sometimes as we wait, we prepare for something. And sometimes as we wait, we get a sense of anticipation, looking forward, the excitement starting to grow. Just imagine I said to you this morning, I've already got your Christmas present. And I said, what you've always wanted, and it's the most exciting thing, and it's here. Hands up if you would like to open it now. A few of you, that's very honest. Hands up if you think it might be better to wait till Christmas Day. Okay, the Christmas Dayers have it, so I won't give you your present today. There's something about waiting that helps you sometimes to grow more hungry and excited about what might happen. I think Advent is a bit like pressing a pause button. Have you ever tried to listen to your favorite music and everybody's talking? Or you started a film and everybody's talking, you say, hang on, pause. A bit of quiet, now we can listen to it together. Advent's a time, because Christmas is so busy, to do a little bit of pressing the pause button together and saying, let's think about what we're going to be celebrating at Christmas and beyond. Advent, I think, is a bit like getting ready. If you've been, hands up if you've been invited to a fancy dress party ever in your life. Lots of you. Getting ready to go is a really important part, isn't it, of going. You don't just turn up, you get ready. And that's true in lots of things. That's true for grown-ups. If you're going out to a nice dinner, you get ready. If you're expecting people for Christmas Day, there's something really exciting about laying the table and getting ready to celebrate. Advent is a time for waiting and preparation and anticipation. It's a time, too, when we look forward. And we look forward to two things. And they both have something to do with this. Listen carefully. This is the most famous verse, probably, in the whole of the Bible. Listen carefully. And this is what Advent is all about.
John 3:16.
It's amazing. In Advent, we look forward to two things, two events that tell us that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to save the whole of the world. In Advent, you see, we're looking forward to celebrating Christmas. But we're also looking forward to celebrating the time when Jesus will return. In Advent, we're celebrating the fact that God loves the world, including you and me, so much that he came among us as Savior and will return as King. And next week, we're going to do the second part of Advent. So this morning, I want us just to think for a few moments about what it means to be anticipating, waiting to celebrate Jesus coming as Savior. Savior is quite a difficult word, but it just means a rescuer. A savior is anybody that comes and responds to a cry for help. Hands up if you've ever needed any help with anything in your life. Lots of you, but one or two of you, maybe not. We need help in all sorts of ways, don't we? We need help. Have you ever broken a bone? Hands up if you've broken a bone. Lots of you have. You need help from someone to help mend it, don't you? Sometimes you need help if you're trying to do something that's a little bit tricky. Maybe you're going to set the table for a lot of people for Christmas and you might need a little bit of help. We need help learning to walk. Evelyn will need help before very long in learning to walk. We need help if we're taking our A-level maths or our GCSE maths. We need help if we're learning to dance or to dance, as some of you say. We need help if we've just got a little bit too much to eat and we need a little bit of help to get it down. We need help all the time. And at the heart of the message of Christmas that we're going to be celebrating in just over 3 weeks' time is the truth that the world needs help. We've seen it on our TV screens just recently. And we know that the world in parts, it's beautiful, but it's also broken. We know, if we're honest, that in our lives are beautiful, but they're broken. Our relationships are beautiful, but they're broken. And the message, the central message of Christmas, is that God doesn't leave a broken world to suffer. But God loves the world so much that he sends his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever puts their trust in him, should know what it is to have a relationship mended. And so the world to begin to be put right. And God's Savior, of course, doesn't come. If you were sending a Savior for the world, you'd probably think, well, we need a huge army to save a broken world. But the extraordinary thing about Christmas is that God comes amongst us as a little tiny baby. How can a baby save the world? I hear you cry. That's a great question. It's a great question to be thinking about in this time of Advent, of waiting and anticipation. And the answer, of course, comes down to who this baby is. This is what Paul says in Colossians 1 about Jesus Christ. He says, the Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, all the fullness of God, squeezed into a tiny baby, dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The message, you see, of Christmas, which it's always worth pausing to reflect on and think, wow, is that God comes amongst us to heal us and set us free. And if you've got something that's broken, the best place to take it to be mended is back to the makers. And that's what happens at Christmas. The maker becomes one of us to bring healing and hope. I'd love to encourage you this Advent to pause and reflect on the wonder of that truth. That the maker of heaven and earth, of you and me, comes and meets us and heals us and forgives us and begins to put the world back to rights. In a moment, we're going to celebrate communion together. And as we celebrate communion, we're celebrating both Christmas and Easter. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came to give his life for you and for me. And you don't have to understand all of that to somehow be drawn into the story and the mystery and the wonder and the truth of it. As we come to communion, after we've sung a song, we'll have communion points around the church at the front and the back and one in the chancel. And I'd love to encourage you, whether again, whether you're from an Anglican background, whether you really know whether you know Jesus or not, to come. And if you don't want to receive communion as a way of celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection, come and ask for a blessing, and we'd love to pray for God's blessing on you. And if you're under, let's say, under 18, oh no, let's say under 21, then there'll be people at the stations, children, with boxes of celebrations. And here's the challenge. I'd like you to take a celebration and see how long you can wait before opening it. And the longer you wait, can I encourage you to use that time as a prayer just to say thank you, God, for Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? And then we're going to sing. Let's just be still, as quiet as we can, and pray. Father, thank you that we don't need to despair even when we see such need in our world. Thank you that in Jesus you have sent the Savior to come and meet us where we are, as individuals and as the whole of the human race. And we pray, as we anticipate and look forward to Christmas, that you'll help us to have time to wonder again at the story of Christmas. That you, the maker of heaven and earth, should come and become one of us in order to mend the world and mend us. Help us to open our lives to you as we wait, and allow you to fix us and heal us and forgive us. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen.